Welcome to the Floodgates Podcast. My name is Joey Brake. We have a special episode today. We have a guest on the pod. He is a friend of ours. He's one of my best friends. I'm so excited for the conversation we're going to have today. So let's welcome Andy Cowdery on the pod.
Let's go.
Hello, welcome. Floodgates. This is an honor. Thank you guys so much. I've actually been a listener for quite some time now.
Let's go. Okay.
So I'm very happy to be here.
You, along with our one listener in Belgium and China now, I believe we have some new listeners.
Bro, we were looking at stats the other day, and like China's taking over listening to the pod. We're like, one day, Floodgates pod pop up in China.
New location?
New location.
So if you're listening in China, shout out to you. But it's so good to have you on the pod today. We were talking and we were just kind of chatting about life, and I know we know a lot's been going on in our life and your life, and something we kind of just came to was just this conversation talking about just this common dilemma when as we go through life, we find ourselves in situations. Maybe it doesn't go the way we planned, maybe it doesn't go as we thought it would go. And today I thought we could kind of open up the floor, just talk a little bit and continue that conversation.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, we talked about just taking detours, and we're a little bit younger, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
But I was specifically thinking about you in this conversation, PK, about like when you take a detour in life, what is it? What's been like a detour that in the moment it felt like, oh, this is not the plan, but actually after the fact you realized, oh, this was always how it was meant to be.
Wow. Yeah, I think even starting off this podcast, we had a little delay ourselves and some distractions. And so, but we're here. We made it. Thank you for joining us. But that's a good question. I think even coming to Florida, when we knew we were called in 04 to move here, we had a different image in our brain that we thought would turn out how God wanted it to work. And we got here and we started helping a church as volunteers to get things started for them. I was working at a title company, and I thought that was going to provide funds for us because working for the church wasn't a paid position, it was just volunteer. And I was working at this company, it was growing.
Which is crazy, by the way, because he had never been to Florida before, and he just came to help start a church that someone else was a part of, and like left everything they knew without a job, without ever visiting here.
Yeah, never.
Which is still bizarre to me every time you say it. Oh, I'm like you're actually crazy.
Yeah,
I feel like the older generation maybe took more risks because my dad did the same thing. Like it was like a thing growing up where my dad moved to Florida with $20.
Yeah, wow.
And I was always like, what? I feel like I always hear these stories, but they're never about us, our age. But like the older generation was like, yep, God's got it.
Yeah, God definitely called us here. He gave us the longitude and latitude. And it's kind of like the Navy ships, when they're called to go out to certain locations, they don't get their instructions until they arrive at their longitude and latitude.
Crazy.
And so that's what God did specifically with us. So we came, I was working, and I was top producer. I was a title processor and closing agent, and I was helping him, and my boss calls me in unexpectedly, and he said, I gotta release you. And I'm like, what? This is my income? Did I do something wrong? Am I not performing at the highest level? He's not, actually, you're our top employee.
Wow.
And I was like, so you're firing me? I said, first of all, I've never been fired from a job. So what you're telling me is like, are you firing me? He's like, no, listen to my words. I'm releasing you. And so at the moment, it felt like that. It felt like a roadblock, run over, delay. It was Thanksgiving of 05, and I had a car from the company. They took my car, my computer, my phone, my salary, all in one setting. And so it was definitely a delay. But through that delay, about 2 months later, the reason I was released with a severance package is because the owner had done some things that were not correct, embezzlement, and everybody that was there just got terminated, and I got released. So at the moment, it seemed like a setback. It seemed like a roadblock. It seemed like a delay. But it was God sparing not only my character, but them seeing and valuing who I was and what I was doing.
Wow.
That he on. That's why he used the word release. So at the moment, I was like, I didn't understand, but hindsight, afterwards, that all put together. Yeah. And so I was released from that.
It's so interesting wow. because I feel like that man had to see something different inside of you.
Yeah.
And like, maybe we could talk a little bit about this of like, sometimes we think everything we know is how it should be in that moment.
Yeah.
But truly, like, God has to take us out of that situation to see truly even more that he has in store for us on the yeah. other side of it. And I mean, there's moments in my life too where I've thought everything I know is like, if that gets taken away, like what right. could happen? Right. But now, like, even looking like 5 years back, yeah. I can say, like, from now, like standing here 5 years later, it's like, well, I would have never discovered all these other things God had in store. Maybe it was talents. Maybe it was relationships and friendships. Mm-hmm. And there was experience I would never even live in if I weren't say, released right. from that season to step into a new one.
Yeah. And it was interesting. A friend of mine, he says, well, you're a pastor. Why don't you just start a church? And so really through that circumstance
oh, wow.
is where the birth of Floodgates came from.
Wow.
And I was studying a lot about Jerusalem and the 12 gates and the different symbolic names of that. Even like when Jesus walked through his victorious triumphal entry, he walked through the sheep gate. It was specific because that's where the sheep were slaughtered, a lamb to be slaughtered. So he even walked through that gate specifically,
wow.
knowing that he was going to be slaughtered for humanity. And so we were studying a lot of that. And Vivi was studying a lot about the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. And so we just came up with, let's get flooded with his presence and walk through the gates together. And that's where Floodgates was birthed.
Wow.
And so through that delay, what was painful, like to go home and share with your wife, I just got released. I don't know
right.
how we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas, but yay, God, let's figure this out. And right. so I had those conversations. But God was faithful through it all. He always is, and he always has been. And it's just, it goes back to that. Are you going to trust him when things are working out? You can as equally trust him when there's delays or distractions or hardships.
That's so good. Yeah, I feel like it's so funny how you'd use the word delay or distraction while you're in it, yeah. but you wouldn't use that word after it.
No.
Because after it all happens, you go, oh, it actually wasn't a distraction
right.
or a delay. Mm-hmm. But in the moment, it always feels like
yeah,
that.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
Someone told me recently about a situation. They said, you didn't leave. God removed you.
Mm.
And even what you're saying about like that guy saying, hey, no, I'm using a different word. I'm using released.
Yeah.
It's like, you kind of feel like maybe man is in charge mm-hmm. sometimes, especially when something like that happens where it's like, this isn't God, this is just a bad company, but it's like,
right.
or a fault. It's like, nope, this is just God using yeah. people, using every situation and turning it for good. And so
yeah.
you can't That's even good. Give the credit to that guy.
No.
That gave you, which is awesome. He gave you, you know, still a little bit to take care of things,
right.
but God gets all the credit.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Isn't it just like God to like take a setback and actually turn it to like a setup?
Yeah.
And I think like even for me, a lot of times it hasn't yeah. even been like maybe like where I'm at or located has changed. Cause I mean, I've been in the same city for over 20 years now.
Yeah.
And so it's not like maybe moving to somewhere, but I do find myself changing like positions or mm-hmm. communities and groups I find myself in.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when maybe a delay or I find myself in this moment of facing something, a lot of times it's my character that I find changing.
Mm.
And I mean, I think moments back when I was at SEU and moments I was in college studying, like there are certain things like I knew God called me there.
Yeah.
And even there, I had moments like my senior, I'm like, it did not look like what I thought it was going to look like. In the middle, maybe I might feel frustrated, mm-hmm. disappointed.
Yeah.
A lot of times when we find ourselves in the delays, like mm-hmm. the disappointment of like, whoa, like this is not what I thought even you said it was going to be.
Right.
But even on the other side, I actually became who God created me to be.
Yeah.
And my character, I learned a lot about humility, mm-hmm. about actually serving, mm-hmm. what it looks like. I remember I went and I auditioned for SU Worship. And I remember that moment because I knew God called me to that school.
Yeah.
And I auditioned, and my first audition, I didn't make the team. And I was just like devastated because I'm like, I thought this was where you called me to, God. Yeah. Like, this was the plan. This was the dream.
It
wasn't
a delay. It was a denied.
I actually got denied. I was like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember I was like disappointed. Yeah. But then I had a choice to make after. And I remembered I would show up to like every rehearsal, set up and tear down. Like, I wasn't even on the team. And I was like, what can I do? What can I do? And I didn't even apply for student leadership. And they like gave me a scholarship. Like, wow. I didn't go through an interview process. I didn't go through anything. And I tell the story, like a year later, my pastor, Dan, comes up to me. He's like, hey, on the audition day, I made it the next semester. I made it onto the team. I skipped that moment. But the next like freshman, like incoming class, he asked me, he's like, would you share your story to the whole class? Wow. And I remember that moment of like the year later being able to share what you do in the disappointment and like what the setback really can change the trajectory of what looks like in the future.
That's so good. I've noticed that it's usually after the disappointment, I feel like, and maybe this is just me, but I think there's probably Bible to this as well. Whatever that thing is, it's usually something that is more hidden and less seen than the thing you were expecting or that you were maybe, whether it be like hoping for. But I feel like every setback, it's usually not followed by more exposure from people. It's usually followed by less.
Yes.
What is the benefit of that, or why do you think that is? Or do you think that is how it goes?
Yeah, I mean, in my experience, it's always like that. It's hard to be a leader because we want to lead people in the right direction, but at the same time, we're dealing with our own emotions, our own thoughts, our own feelings, frustrations when you're delayed or distracted or deterred or whatever D word you want to use to it. Difficulties.
Disrupted.
Yeah. Denied. Disrupted. Disappointed.
Denied. Disappointed. But the reality is God is who he is no matter what we're dealing with. Mm. And God's character doesn't change. And I think the reason he takes you out of maybe a stage or an opportunity is to mold your character. Yeah. And I think that's what God always wants, to realign our character with his. Because if he's calling you and you're a representative and you're his image, our character has to line up with his. It's hard because a lot of times you say, well, I'm a follower of Christ, but then your character doesn't line up. And so I think that's those moments where you feel like you're maybe more alone or you're struggling in your own issues, your own mind, your own memories, your own trauma, your hurts, your pains. It's to mold you through that, to remind you that he's with you. He's the one who called you. That job didn't call you. That bank account that you have, it can come and go as quickly as you built it. It's who are you trusting? Mm-hmm. And so the difficulties aren't a test of who we are. It's a reminder of who he is.
Wow.
And that he is the one that we can trust constantly. He's the one that's with us. The promises of, okay, it's waiting, but on the other side of your waiting, there's the answer, there's the miracle, there's the moment that he can get you to, that you had to deal with all these people and circumstances, but if that never happened, would you have spent more time seeking him, crying out to him, seeking direction and guidance, and maybe praying, changing your circle? I mean, sometimes the circle he has you in is as far as he got you, and he needs to, you know, release you from that to take you to another level.
Wow. I love what you're saying, and kind of my takeaway is, like, if you allow it, if you allow the difficulty to actually change you, it can actually develop you.
Yeah. Right.
And so it's a choice you have to make to allow difficulty to develop you, your character, who you are, your identity. Mm-hmm. Like, it tests everything within you. I want to kind of ask you, like, maybe if there's a moment you could share, like, that there is a moment where you found yourself in a difficult situation. Maybe it was a delay, a distraction, a detour, whatever you want to say. It's like, but how were you able to actually let that develop you Maybe it was in your leadership. Maybe it was in your talent. Maybe it was in your character. But maybe if you can pinpoint and share, encourage someone, maybe they're in that situation right now, that difficult moment. What do we do when we find ourselves there?
Yeah. I listened to somebody talking about this the other day, and he said, I didn't realize how much God loved me enough to let me stay hidden during this time.
Wow.
Because this leader is now everywhere, but he had such a long period of like not being seen.
Yeah.
And so, he was like, I think just having that perspective of like, if I'm frustrated right now, I actually have no idea how much God loves me enough to keep me here so that I can learn what I need to learn before whatever next is, whether that is a job or like a person or a relationship or friendship, whatever. And so I think about Joseph and realizing if I was him in the middle of being in that prison or in the pit, I would be like, you know, this is really bad. Yeah. But if I'm Joseph on the other side of it, there's so much to be grateful for. So I think for me in this season of life, with a job change going from youth ministry for 4 years and now still in ministry, working on an awesome team at an awesome church, in communications, more on social media and like the creative side of things, like you're saying, it could be seen as, wait, what happened? Mm-hmm. But it's actually been the most eye-opening thing on how it's developed my character, which is something only people really close to me would know, like, you know, you or my wife. I remember, and my wife could attest to this, but I started doing more dishes this year. Okay. Like, I just started doing better like, hey, a movie just ended. Usually we just go to the room and end it and just, like, call it a day, or this is usually when I'd wind down. I was like, I'm going to do dishes every night.
Okay.
And I kind of was like, whoa, I'm kind of doing this thing. And I was like, why is that? And it was like, I think because the job I'm working is so much more on like development and discipline, and it's stretching me so much that I was like, I think I'm more okay doing the hard thing. And so she could attest to it. I've done more dishes. I've woken up earlier, and I'm going, wow, imagine if I didn't have this.
Right.
Because it sounds silly, but like not being developed in hidden areas probably have huge consequences later down the road. And so there's so many different areas of my life where I'm going, wow, like God actually is using this to develop my character. And I'm okay with my character being developed than my influence getting bigger.
Wow. That's good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because how many people have huge influence, but they didn't have the character, so there was this moment when something happened or, you know, you make the news and this and that, and it's like, because you didn't develop the character. And so if anyone's in a season of not being seen, it's like, what a blessing.
Yeah.
This is just time to develop and to grow your character.
Yeah. And remember, you're not alone. Like, I think a lot of times when we go through these difficulties, we feel like, why is this happening to me? Like, even I was preaching on Gideon, and he was, like, in a wine press hiding. And when he was face-to-face with God, he was like, God, if you were really on our side, why am I dealing with this?
Wow.
And he's like, because your father sinned and they turned away and were wicked and bowed to other gods. But it's a problem you inherited, but now you're going to be the solution to the problem.
That's really good.
And so I think even in his story in Gideon, that God had to take him and show him that it's not how we operate or how a war would happen. I mean, because he was dealing with 135,000 plus men, and he went up against him with 300. He had 10,000. It's like, that's still not even great numbers against 135, but with 300. But I love what he says in Judges 6:16. He said, I'm going to let you defeat your enemy as if you were fighting one.
Wow.
So that's why I only needed 300 to fight one. And so when you look from God's perspective, you can start saying, wow, okay, I'm going to trust him in the difficulties. I'm going to trust him in the delays and the detours. And through that, it just goes back to, who are you depending on? Yourself, your own gifts, your own influence? Or are you going to let him lead you and trust you through it? Because he's the one that's faithful through it all.
Yeah. One thing I love about you and your leadership is, like, you don't let difficulty change who you are. And I think we live in a culture where we're very reactive.
Yeah.
We like to respond, and like typically like difficulty or like whatever we're facing, it really shows what's within us. Mm-hmm. And deep down it brings out what's truly within.
Yeah.
And something like just getting a front row seat to your life that I've noticed is just like, it really shows your true colors. And I think the beauty of it is what's within you is everything that is of God.
Yeah.
Like the fruit of the Spirit is so evident in your life. And like even like pastoring for 18 years in this city, like do we have the biggest church? No. If you look at the numbers, you might even say like, why do you do what you do? Like some people might actually ask us that. But if you actually see the life change, it's because of your fruit. And anybody can look at your life and see the fruit of your life, because you might not have the biggest church in the world, but you can't go around this city without one person knowing you. Like you.
Well, I'll interrupt to say this. There are so many pastors that have bigger numbers, but their son would never do a podcast with them.
Yeah.
There's so many pastors that might have a bigger streams, bigger this and that.
Yeah.
But their own family wouldn't do this.
Yeah,
no. Because they actually didn't develop the family character.
Yeah.
And the family values. And yeah, so even true. This, I'm like, oh, this is way more of a flex.
Yeah.
Than like an auditorium or
wow.
A this or a that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you actually have the fruit, your actual fruit.
Yeah.
Sure. Your son, your daughter, your family. And
yeah.
Like, that's huge.
That's huge.
Yeah.
I'm very honored and blessed.
And the way that literally we can go to a restaurant and there's not like, you can't have a meal without someone
every
knowing
time.
This man.
Every time.
Just because, and if he doesn't know someone, he will meet someone.
By the end of the meal,
we'll be best.
If it's a waiter, the manager, anybody. Like,
I actually, this is so funny. I remember we went to a restaurant and I was like, how does he know him? And he's like, from the restaurant.
Yeah,
not from something before it.
Right,
I know him from here.
Yeah,
I'm like, dang, that's so cool.
Yeah,
because it's not you don't make connections for people from a different season.
Right,
you'll meet them right there and be like,
right.
Oh, I know him from here.
Oh yeah,
and so I kind of just wanted to ask you, like, what are like some decisions you've had to, you know, like implement in your life to stay that consistent?
Yeah.
Because I can look at every moment of your life and the highs. And in the lows, and you are a consistent person. Like, this is who I am. Your faith, like, literally remains. Even when you don't feel like it, you
yeah.
still commit to be that person.
Yeah.
So, like, what are those, like, values or principles maybe that maybe we can instill in people? Because it's very rare to find people like that, that have that character that is consistent
yeah.
in the highs, in the lows, in the mountaintops, in the valley lows. And, like, the way that, like, you love people, but not just when they're like, oh, they're amazing. Like,
right.
Oh, Andy, I love that guy because he does this, this. And they're like, you love that person.
He can wash dishes.
even like when they're not like
yeah.
the best,
yeah.
you
right.
still like, even when someone like hurts you love them. You like
yeah.
truly love people. You are full of grace. You're full of faith in every season. So how do we like actually live that out? Like, what are some principles
yeah.
we can live by?
I mean, that's a huge question. One, it was modeled for me, you know, from my own father's life. But I always put myself in a position like when I'm starting to maybe complain about somebody or criticize them or why aren't they doing enough, why aren't they committed, why aren't those kind of things. I started looking at, I was like, is that what God's asking me?
Wow.
And so when I put it back on me and just deal with God directly, I can look past all those things because I'm the same. You know, I have my shortcomings, I have my angers, my issues, my frustrations, and I have to give it to God. But I always kind of put it back into, is like, is God complaining about me, my dedication? It's like, I gave you my son and you're not waking up, you're not washing dishes, you're not, you know,
wow.
doing these little simple details and disciplines. So it goes back to commitment, it goes back to trust, and it just goes back that on that table of trust is normally held by four legs, the commitment, conflict resolution, care, and commitment, conflict resolution, care, and communication. And I think it all goes back to that. Trust is something that can be broken in a second, but it takes a lifetime to build. And so I think God trusts me so much with his house and with his people. I just value that. I just like, how can I add value to somebody? So instead of about being about me, I think one of the main ingredients is one, stay humble in asking. The same thing you're asking about someone else is God asking that about you. But also just trust God and communicate. I mean, he can handle. I remember I was journaling one time, and I have an open relationship with my wife. She has access to my journals, my computers, my everything. And she was like, you can't write that. I'm like, I can, because it's God and he can handle it. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes just letting that out so you don't let it out on the people around you is just a healthy practice. But there's a lot of it. Just it's a decision. Every day is a decision. You can say, I'm called or I'm not called. You can decide. Are you really called? Then you're going to do it because you're called. Yeah. No matter if it's delayed, no matter if it's perfect, no matter the difficulties, God is just faithful through it all.
Yeah, that's so good.
It's fire.
I wanted to circle back really quick and go, how did being a title manager or working at a title company, how did that make you a better pastor? And how did being denied the first time for SE Worship make you better at whether that be worship or your character? Because like we have now we're on the other side of some things. We can go, hey, what were the benefits?
Right. Yeah.
So what are some things in that where you went, oh, I'm actually glad I didn't work in ministry for this season because of what I learned about maybe outside of ministry in the world, or I'm actually glad I didn't get too much too soon. Like what are the benefits now looking back at it that make the know that you got actually a good thing?
I mean, for me, I think it really gave me it really taught me how to serve with a posture of humility and also kind of was a reality check of why do I do what I do? It kind of gave me this point of like, if I commit myself to something, what is the why behind it?
That's good. And
it really revealed like my true motives because if I was only auditioning just so I could be in the spotlight and play and everyone know who I'm the drum, like, That if that's my motive, I'm doing it for the wrong reason.
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
And so I was able to develop this character, going back to the beginning of like, am I still willing to do it even if no one else saw me? Right. Like I had to make a decision for myself. Like if only God knew every single thing I did at SEU in my 4 years there or my 3 years there, like would I still do it? If no one else, no leader, no spotlight, no shout out, no like no service, if I didn't go play for anything, would I still serve?
That's so good. Wait, you said 3 years at SEU? Why 3 years?
3 years because I graduated high school with dual enrollment, so I didn't have to do the full four. I already had some credits. 3 years.
See, that's that's the character behind the scenes, y'all. Yeah.
But it really revealed like that motive.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why, like, I still do what I do today. Because I know God's called me to Floodgates right now in this season.
Yep.
And so I don't do it for the numbers. I don't do it for, I do it for the impact. And I can see the lives of people that I've stewarded and served. I can see them on the other side years later of how God has changed their life. And so that's the why. Because what God's done in my life, I want to be like a spotlight so people can see God can do that in your life too. That's God can use you, that God's given you dreams. When you're talking about Joseph, it's like in the dilemma, like God is still giving you a dream. So maybe you might go through a season where it might look differently, but God gave Joseph a dream.
Yeah.
And he went from the pit, he went to the palace. Mm-hmm. And one day that dream actually became true. But he had to go through certain seasons to be the man God wanted him to be when the dream actually came true. Yeah. And so, I mean, I have so many dreams that I still haven't seen in my life. And I know I'm still young, and I pray and believe that God would do some of the things that I truly believe he's placed in my heart that are not like things of my selfishness or things that I want for myself.
Yeah.
But does it go back... to a God dream really is not about you. It's about how other people can benefit from it.
So good, bro.
And so it really, really shifted that in me of what is my motive behind, what is the why, and if would I still do it, even if no one else knew.
So good. So good.
And working anywhere I've ever worked is ministry. It has nothing to do with a title, a position, a job. Like if you ask if you were in a church leadership setting or in a church group, say how many missionaries do we have, everybody should be, because we're all called to go make disciples.
Wow.
So if you're working at a title company, you make disciples. If you work at Walmart, you're making disciples. You're wherever you're at college, you're making disciples and teaching them and knowing that he's always with us. So even at Ford, when I was working at Ford full time before I went into full time ministry, we had Bible study there. We started in a truck with two guys. We ended up having four break room with 30, 40 people on lunch studying God's word.
Right.
And it was, so it's not like you have to be a church pastor or a church leader or be a part of a ministry team to do what Jesus commanded us to do, to go make disciples.
Wow.
So I've learned that in any situation. I do it as if I was doing for Jesus. Even when I came, from the other church, I would sweep the sidewalk. I would clean the bathroom. It wasn't my job. It wasn't my thing, but I wanted to do as if I was doing for Jesus. So I give Jesus my best at work or at home in my community, and it just allows God to move you and through that. So, but of course, I probably learned most about people when I was a police officer. You see the bad and the ugly, ugly of society.
Right.
And you're scooping people up, arresting people, trying to save some people. And it's a hard reality because you're very limited what you can actually do. You can might save someone for a moment, but when they bond out, they go back and still abuse their kid or their wife. And so there's all these things. I saw all those difficulties of the good, the bad, the ugly of society. And so I think even in those scenarios, God was preparing. I think even with Joseph, the pit prepared him for being in charge of his master's home.
Right.
Because he wasn't dead. So he was celebrating, right? And then he got falsely accused and he went to the prison. But even in the prison, he found favor and he had all the keys. He could walk out anytime. He had keys. He could leave the jail, but he was still there, found faithful. I remember you even preached not too long on Be Found Faithful, and that was an amazing, incredible message about when you're in that derailment or detour or disappointment, will you be found faithful?
Yeah.
Like Joseph was found faithful. And so I think no matter where we go through, whether we're in ministry or non-ministry, if you love Jesus, you're called to make disciples.
So good.
It's really good. One thing both of you do very well is, like, you're so disciplined in the things that you prioritize. Like when you put first things first, like, that is, like, there's no excuse. Like, this is what I prioritize this. I know there's not, like, a day where you guys aren't disciplined in the areas that you've committed to. And I love that about both of you. Like, I know every morning this man wakes up and the first thing he does is spend time with Jesus. Like, he will always open up his Bible. He'll pray for so many people and, like, people who know him, who probably don't know him, like, all these people. And, like, I remember, like, I'll call you sometimes, like, oh, yeah, man, just to read my Bible. I'm like, I want to be like you. Like, you guys are disciplined. And there's areas where I'm very disciplined. There's areas where I lack discipline and I need to grow. And we all do. We all have areas where we can grow in. But I think in the moments where we find ourselves in the dilemma, that's where we need to have discipline. Something that's consistent. Maybe it's in our character. Maybe it's in our disciplines. But what are the things that we can commit to in the dilemma? Because in the dilemma, it's chaos. You know, there's disappointment, there's emotion, there's feelings, like it feels overwhelming at times. So the discipline is what sticks us to what we need to, like, stay true to in that season, so we can see the other side. And that can be in our health, it can be spiritually, emotionally, relationally. And so maybe we can kind of end with this. What are some disciplines that we can live out in our day-to-day to be found faithful, to stay true to what God is calling us to do in those seasons?
Man, I think the biggest thing for me is not letting pride get in the way of how far along you are in something. Mm. And so especially because I've grown up in church, there's a little bit of like, shouldn't I know this by now? Like, I fell asleep reading Proverbs this morning twice. I fell asleep. And I woke up and I was like, I'm still holding my Bible yet sleeping at the same time.
It was what almost, a man of
it was
God.
Impressive. No, but like, but it takes humility to go, I'm okay at being bad at this right now.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so I think the biggest thing for me that I've learned in my life is just doing it while you feel unqualified.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Just doing it while you feel, when I started youth ministry at 19, I felt unqualified. But then when I stepped from that season, I was like, that was crazy. Like, wow, God is good. When I started this communications team, there's for sure parts that are going in me, you're unqualified. And I'm like, but I remember the last time I felt this, it ended up being awesome. And so I think, like, the biggest encouragement I would say is, like, do it unqualified. Just do the thing. Yeah. I mean, like, not, like, you know, drive a car or start, like, you know, something. I'm saying, like, any leadership thing that you don't feel ready for, just start it. Just do it messy. Yeah. Do it scared. Do it afraid. But my pastor said this over the weekend. He said his mindset towards all things with finance, with life, with marriage is Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. Yeah. And so what he meant by that was in the beginning of my finances, God. In the beginning of my day, God. In the beginning of my relationship, my friendship, my marriage, God. Yeah. So I just start everything with in the beginning God. And so that takes the pressure off me because it's not about in the beginning my ability.
Yeah.
And so just doing it scared, that's been like my biggest thing for me. And just going and being okay with being bad at something, not letting pride get in the way of, like, we were making music the other day.
Yeah.
But like my insecurity would be like, oh, I don't know how to like mix or do this yet or that. It's like, just do it.
Yeah.
Just go for it.
Yeah.
Somebody, you
we
have
had
to
so much fun doing everything wrong.
Yeah, and exactly.
We came out of it like so hyped.
And then you forgot to hit the record button, so you said nothing.
And I mean, that goes with anything. I mean, I remember when we started the podcast in the first episode. Like, I remember you, like, this is the first time the first episode we're getting on the pod. And he's like, I've never been this nervous before.
Right.
Like, you said that before we hit record. I'm like, what do you mean? You've been speaking for years.
Right.
Like, you speak in front of audiences, one-on-one with people. We went through COVID, like, recording messages online. Like, this is just us talking just with microphones. Like, what makes you nervous? Like, you still did it, though. Like, no matter, like, scared, uncomfortable, you were willing to still do it because you had faith on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Why? The why? People would come to know Jesus. People would draw closer to Jesus. Through the other side of our fear, I mean, like, the moments of, like, my leadership, I remember you handing me the baton to lead a worship team at 15 years old.
Wow.
I'm leading people that are way older than me, married, have kids, and I'm like, no, like, he put me in that position for a reason, and I was unqualified. I didn't know what I was doing, but I did have the willingness to do it, even though I didn't, because I knew God would cover every single weakness, every single doubt, every single insecurity. And so maybe you're listening right now and you find yourself in the dilemma. Mm-hmm. You're in the detour, the disappointment, the frustration.
Delays.
You might feel like you've been delayed. Mm-hmm. That just know that in this season, there's something God wants to develop in you. That on the other side, one day you'll look back years down the line, I'm grateful I went through that season.
Yeah.
I want to be like Joseph, that one day he got to the palace when the dream came true,
right.
That we'd be grateful. Wow, if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't have developed this area of my life.
Yeah.
If I didn't go through that, if I didn't take that step in that direction, man, God would have not shaped this area in me. And so I want to encourage you, give it purpose.
Yeah.
I think when we give it that purpose, we can truly give God the glory on the other side of it. Thanks for listening to the Floodgates Podcast. Shout out to Andy. What a great episode. We want to encourage you to share the pod with friends and family. Like it, subscribe, rate, and review it. Let's continue to build a community that is a catalyst for change through conversation. Continue to live by faith, be known by love, and be a beacon of hope. We'll see you next time.